chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And we'll also be reading some other passages during the message. The message this morning is along the line of some of the problems that we face and the cure that is given to us in the Scripture. We have witnessed again this week the terrible incidents, as we've seen other places, even in our own state, of the schools being attacked, someone coming in and using a weapon to destroy the lives of young people. And so many times it is young people that are doing it, sometimes it is not. It is the society that we live in that is got a problem. The places that we go, the places that we find ourselves, we really do not know what's around us, who's around us. But I'm glad I know I have the Holy Spirit within me, and He can help us. And this morning in 2 Peter chapter number 2, we'll begin in verse number 4. Peter is giving us some things to understand that God has given as an example to us. An example is something that we look at and that we are to learn from. And God gives us many of those, and here is one of them. He says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Wherein as angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts." Notice those words. He's talking about individual people that are running rampant without any kind of self-control. And the Lord says here through Peter, "These as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the day time. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the righteous way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking in the man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved for them forever. For they speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. Overcoming the latter end is worse than the beginning. Here we find the Apostle Peter writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's giving a summation, or giving a, I guess we could call it, an overview of some things of history. History is there for a purpose and a reason, in that we can learn from things that we do. We can learn either to do it again, or we can learn that we ought not to do that again. We learn from our mistakes. I'm sure you realize this morning that America is in a problem. America has troubles. Are we beyond deliverance? I don't think so, but we very possibly are. There are many things in our country that's the best that it's ever been. We have a great country. Now, don't listen to the news commentators. Don't listen to people that really don't have the understanding. But we do have a great country. Our country has flourished and has been blessed for centuries. We have access to more things than most people do, and just we have in a little while that they've never had in their whole life. We have unlimited availability of knowledge, some good, some bad, some true, some false. It's all, but it's knowledge. It's things that people learn. It's an amazing thing to think about. We can leave here today. We can get on a jet plane, and we can be in another country this afternoon before sunset. We can watch two television programs at one time and never have to get up from our easy chair, and we can flip back and forth and know everything going on. We have things that many, many people do not. We have telephones in our pockets that we can call all around the world. I every once in a while get a call from Brother Ronnie Downey, and I know his number from Wales. I get a call from Nigeria, Brother Solomon, and I'll know who, and we can talk, and good, clear voice, and what a blessing that is. We can go to the grocery store, and we can buy anything we want to buy, anything that we can afford to buy, and we can pretty much do what we want to do. And the Bible says that as we come to the nearer, to the end of time, that knowledge would increase. And we are increasing in knowledge continually. Like I said, some of it is not true knowledge, but it's things we learn. Knowledge is what we obtain by learning. But these technological advances that we make that are so good to us and for us, really are not what makes America a great country. That's a result of a great people that have been blessed of the Lord. This week, as we read the news and heard the news of a shooter going into a school, it come across my telephone and said an active shooter in Texas. I thought, oh, not again. Not again. That school was supposed to have their graduation last night, here at the end of school year. Other schools that have students missing because of that incident that has taken place in the last year or so. And we are in, socially, we're in a problem. Spiritually, we are in a desperate need of an awakening of the Lord. We have graduation here, and we are so sheltered in our area of our country. Rural Kentucky is far different than the big cities. It's far different from other places. And we think in our mind that everybody's like us. Not everybody's like us. I have to, even sometimes in my thinking, I have to realize not everybody thinks like I do. Sometimes I wish they did. Like Brother Geiger said this morning, we all have our thoughts and ours is the one that's right. But we live in a society today that is so very diverse. We live in a society that is continually going farther and farther away from the teaching of the Word of God. If you don't believe that, you make some statements on the internet about the Lord and about truth, you'll find out how many people do not agree with just basic things that we hold as true, that this book tells us. We have graduations all across our country today, and we graduate young folks, and some of them cannot even read. Some of them can't even write. They don't recognize characters. Many of them do not know the principles of English, our language. They sometimes do not work in school, and so that carries over, and they do not work in life. They grow up, they have children, and they don't take care of their children. Their parents grow older, and they don't even take care of their parents. Now, this has become a norm in our nation. They may or may not work, and if they do or don't, they pay their bills if they want to. That's a problem. They don't honor contracts. They can't tell the truth. They won't stand for righteousness, and they will not honor the Lord. This morning, our country has a lot of speed. Everybody's in a hurry. It's hard to imagine how busy we are and how little we get accomplished. I don't know how my dad did all that he did. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have, I can remember, he didn't have much of a telephone, had very little TV. And I don't know how they got everything done that they got done. How did the Holmes have 8, 10, 12 children and do all that they did? And everybody seemed happy. So we're a country in a hurry this morning, but we don't have any direction of life. We have a lot of thrills, but we don't have much happiness. We have a lot of houses, but we don't have a whole lot of homes. And there is a difference. You can put your house up for sale, but you cannot put your home up for sale. The home is what's inside the house, just like the church is what's inside this building. And so we have all those things. We have religion. Oh, religion is everywhere. Religion is worldwide. If you don't believe that, just watch some of the things that go on. Religion was on display yesterday. The royal wedding. A lot of religious things there. They had choirs. They had gospel. They had preaching. They had all the pomp and circumstance of royalty, and everything was well. I told somebody, I said, the only reason I watched it, I like to look at the cars that they drove. I really like that Jaguar. But all those things are on display, but it's without the Lord Jesus Christ. We have religion, but we do not have Christ. Therefore, our scriptures no longer amount to much. Our sermons are not very effective. Sin is not removed, and salvation is just almost something unheard of. You say, preacher, that's a pretty bleak message so far. I think we do understand that we live in a bleak world. There is no hope. There is no escape if the Lord does not deliver us. Israel got to that point, and I believe that we get to that point. The Bible says in Psalm number 19, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now he's talking about wicked people, and he's talking about nations. See, nations are the plan of the Lord. God had he has his nation, the nation of Israel. And there's nations of this world, and he says every wicked person shall be turned into hell. And those people that are living around the world, they're in nations, and they forget God. And when we forget God, then we have no way of walking. We have no direction of life. We have no foundation to build upon. We have no light in the tunnel. America is in trouble this morning. And it's not just because of a school shooting. It's not because of a shooting at a concert. It's not because of a shooting in even an elementary kindergarten setting. It's not just because of a nightclub shooting. America is in trouble this morning because a long time ago we have left God out of the picture. We didn't need Him anymore. I said the other night, one of the graduations, the problem we have in our country is that a long time ago we began to think that we don't owe God anything, we don't belong to God, and probably not even a God, and we just come up out of the waters, and we began to evolve, and here we are. If that be the case, we do not have a God. If that be the case, then we're showing that we don't believe and we don't want God. I am a young earth creationist. I have no idea, I have no inkling toward the theory of evolution. And it is just a theory that cannot be proven. But it's taught in our educational system as total truth. So we're headed for problems. When you take the remaining years, you'll find that we have belittled the Lord more and more and more until He just really doesn't exist. He's just a character, a figment of the older generation, their imagination. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1 is an interesting chapter. Isaiah is dealing with the nation of Israel that has long time departed from the Lord. And it's a vision that God gives him. And he begins to speak in verse number 2. He's seeing a vision from the Lord, and he says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." Now notice what the Lord says. "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people does not consider." Notice here in verse 4, the Lord says, "Ah, sinful nation." See, God deals with nations. Nations are made up with people. He says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward." He says in verse number 5, he says, "You have revolted more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." So it's a head sickness and a heart sickness. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now from verse number 7 on down through a few more, you could almost put today's headlines with this chapter. He says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it with in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. He says in verse number 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto a very small remnant, you would have been as Sodom and like unto Gomorrah. Same two cities mentioned in Peter that we read. He says in verse number 10, says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. And then the Lord begins to ask them a question and make some very emphatic statements. He says, to what purpose or what's the reason of the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Why are you sacrificing to me? You don't even love me anymore. You don't serve me, so why do you sacrifice? The Lord says in that verse, he says, I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and the lambs or the he-goats. When you come to appear to me, who hath required this of your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more oblations, incense, and the abomination unto me. And then he goes on, the new moons, and just all kind of religious activity that they were trying to give to the Lord to cause him to take note of them, that they were not in trouble, but they were in trouble. He said, just don't give me any more of your sacrifices. Don't pray to me anymore. Don't bother me anymore, because you're not going to do what I tell you to do anyway. But he does tell them a way of escape. Verse number 16 says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. And then verse 18, very familiar verse. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Notice verse number 19, verse number 20. If ye be willing and obedient. There's the key. Willing and obedient. Ye shall eat the good of the land. What does that mean? The Lord says if you'll be obedient, if you'll hear the word and you'll be obedient, then you're going to have the increase. You're going to have good things. That little word if is so very important. It's a conditional blessing. There are some blessings in the Bible that God says, I'm going to bless you regardless. But many of the blessings of the Lord are, I'll bless you if. I'll bless you when. I'll bless you because of your activity. And he says here, if you will be willing and obedient. Notice verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel. Two sides of the coin. Willing, obedient. If you're willing and obedient, you'll be blessed. But if you refuse and rebel, he says, then you'll be devoured with the sword. And that happened time and time again in the history of Israel. Just as the shooting was Friday, and then there was another shooting close to a school just south of Atlanta after a graduation. Individual was killed. Now we are bombarded, and you know what I'm saying. We are bombarded with the so-called wise people with this type of what's the reason for? They begin to ask the questions. What is the cause? What is the cure? Who is at fault? I've heard all these things in the last 2 days. What is the background of the shooter? Were they rich? Were they poor? What kind of games did they play? Who was their friends? Were there any signs of a troubled mind? And the questions go on and on and on. But you know what? All those questions, I have never come up with an answer as to why. Well, I believe our Bible tells us why. Our Bible tells us that when we refuse and rebel against the Lord, then we will be devoured. And sometimes that devouring comes from within. It's not the Russian communists that we ought to be so afraid of that's being investigated over and over again. It may be, that's not maybe the problem. It may be the lazy Christians inside this country that's not doing what they ought to do to hold forth liberty. Amen. And hold forth the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was yesterday reading some things on, you know, how Facebook is, and they were talking about, and all those some of those questions came up. Everybody had an answer. Everybody had what was wrong. We've not done this enough. We've not spent this kind of money. We've not done enough here. And parents are not doing their job. And some of the answers were right. Teachers are not doing their job. And administration's not doing its job. And we want guns. We don't want guns for protection. You know the struggles. You know the problem. You know the questions that are always coming at us at that. I had one person on that whole list of hundreds of people. And she made the statement. She said, the problem with our schools and the problem with our country is that we left God a long time ago and nobody seems to care. Amen. So I just waited. I said, well, she's going to be bombarded. And buddy, she was. This one guy, he comes on, he says, oh, I guess you want us to go back to the slavery days. Isn't that stupid? Excuse me, that's stupid. Oh, I guess you want to go back to when women couldn't do anything. What reasoning? Oh, I guess you want to go back to that book you call the Bible that has all the answers that's so confusing. I sat there as long as I could. The problem in America today is not the society's, it's not the results of what's happening, it's what's taking place before the results. We don't want God, we don't care for God. And if you're a Bible toting person, you must be archaic. Well, if you read that book, you've got problems. That book will make you mentally deranged. That's what some of our politicians say, by the way. Well, they probably think I'm crazy, but that's okay. I know where I'm going. I know where I've been. I know how to get there. I could at least vote on something that would help our country. And so we find all these things. And so we just have a problem with no knowledge without God. And there is no knowledge without the Lord. Probably America is the most, I'm going to use the word real loose, probably America is the most religious country in the world. And I'm pretty sure that America is probably the most redeemed people, has the most redeemed people in any country in the world. You know why? Because those people that are archaic and those folks that taught us right and wrong, they had a book they knew how to teach and they knew how to tell us how to live. But if we come from one cell amoebas, if we come up from the grass, if we come up from the the walk of animals, then we don't have God. We don't need God. And so in the 60s, we didn't need God in our schools. I was going to school when they outlawed this book. I was in high school when they said you couldn't pray anymore. Buddy, we've come a long way, haven't we? Isn't it amazing? And I saw this yesterday and I thought, if they only understood. Don't talk about God. You might offend somebody. This book is offensive to the lost. That's why we have churches today that are filled to capacity and nobody's offended because all they do is party. It's not too popular outside these doors, but we're here. But the problem is we just don't want the Lord. And we're full of religion. We're full of good works. We're full of a lot of things, but we don't have a lot of God. If you stand up and make your statement, people's going to look at you like, what spaceship did you get off of? Where'd you come from? In our own community, I wonder this morning how many people was raised in good homes, went to church, moms and dads did their best to teach them, and now they've turned completely away from it. There's a bunch. And it's happening more and more and more. Can America remain? I don't know. Can America remain as she is? Can America ever go back to what she was? Never in history has a country gone back to what it was. Because we've made that long start slope down the hill. And there's no end. I think 4 or 5 years ago I preached a message that we have crossed the Rubicon. History. When Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon, he said, there's no turning back. You're not going to turn back. When we cross here, we're in it to the end. Has America crossed that point of no return? I don't know. But I know one thing, we will never get it back unless somebody will preach the Word of God. I wonder this morning how many, I wish there was a way of knowing how many people go to church on Sunday morning. Every church, any church. That's why we're called a Christian nation, because America, a lot of America goes to church. But I wonder how many never go to church. And I wonder how many of those that go to church hear anything about the Lord, other than just in passing, they go to church. I wonder how many of them are truly born again. I wonder how many are truly Christians, not just in name, but by action and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many. I'll tell you what, we're in a minority. And America will never come back until somebody will stand and preach the Word of God. And then it's sometimes ridiculed. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And then God says, I found none. Nobody to make up the difference. There's a breach. There's a gap. Somebody's got to stand there. The dam is leaking. Somebody's got to take care of the leak. Today we have people killed every way you want to think of. Every way you can imagine, people are killed. Somebody needs to preach. Somebody needs to proclaim the word of the Lord. And we're not going to get back until we come back to that. We're not going to come back until somebody will pray for others while they do that. Isaiah 64 says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all of our righteousness as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities. And there's none that call upon the name of the Lord. Stirreth him up to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face." We must have fervent prayer. We must have a faithful prayer. We must have families that will pray together. Used to be a slogan years and years ago. Families that pray together, what? Stay together. That's not just a sign on a board. That's truth. I remember in my home county, there was a church on their church sign that said that. I don't know if it still says it or not. Drive by it every week as I went to church. And I read that time and time again. We're not going to survive. We're not going to remain unless somebody will grab a hold of the horns of the altar and pray. We're not going to survive unless we have somebody that will preach truth and not worry about political correctness and all the things that we have trouble with all the time. Isn't it a strange thing how everybody wants everybody to know what they're doing? And then when they know what they're doing, they get mad because they know what they're doing. Isn't it strange? It's strange that we have school, 120 kids. It's strange that parents send their children here to get an education to learn, and sometimes that takes part of learning is correction. And it's strange, they want all that except the correction, and when you correct them, then you've got to correct the parents. I told somebody, we don't have any kid problems, we got parent problems. Kids will fight each other, and you know what? Next day they're fine. Until mom and dad get in it, now they're mad at everybody. That's strange. You see, we've got our thinking all wrong. We need to turn it to the Lord, and we're not going to do any different until somebody will proclaim it and somebody will pray for it. We're not going to be any different until we put the Lord first. He and He alone is Lord of our life. As I read those that verse in Psalm 9:17 a while ago says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, all the nations that forget God." Psalm 33:12 says it this way, a little bit opposite. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance." On one hand, nations are going to be turned into hell because they forget God. On the other hand, that nation is blessed because they belong to the Lord. The people of that country, in recognition of His blessings, in reverence, in repentance. Chronicles 7:14, very familiar verse. It's one of these conditional promises. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then," He says, "I'll heal their land. I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land." I've given you this before, and I'll close with it this morning. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the time of history has been about 200, 250 years. They go through a cycle. During those years, those nations progressed through a sequence. Number one, they go from bondage to spiritual faith. Number two, they go from spiritual faith to great courage. Then they go from courage to liberty or freedom. You have to fight for some things. God help America if we ever get in a real war. You have to fight for freedom, had to fight for some things. And from freedom to abundance. from abundance to complacency. I've got it, so it's okay. Then we go from complacency to apathy. I just don't care. And then from apathy to dependence upon somebody else. And then from dependence back to what? Bondage. There's that cycle. Continually, over and over and over again. May God help us this morning to do our part. You say, well, I'm just one. I can't do everything. No, but you can do something. I can't do everything, but I can do my part. I can't do what everybody else does, but I can pray, I can preach, I can sing, I can do, I can go, I can help. I can't do it all, but I can do my part. And if everybody would just do their part, I'm talking about truly born again people. If they do their part, would it be that God might heal our land? Well, we need a healing. That healing is not in psychologists telling us all of our troubles. That healing is not another program. That healing is not another class. That healing is not somebody telling me how to do something they've never done. America needs a healing this morning, and it only comes from the Lord. If my people, not talking to the lost, God says my people, if we'll obey Him, if we'll follow Him, turn from our wicked ways, our sins, the God that I believe never lies, He says, I'll heal your land. But there's that little word, if. If. This morning, will America remain? Will America survive? Will America go on? Probably so. But it may not be the country that we know. I look back on my life. The country I live in right now is not the country I lived in when I was in school. We never thought about somebody killing somebody in school. Oh, but we had the Bible read every day. We had the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. But we don't need that anymore. And then we wonder what's wrong. May God help us. There is hope if my people will follow His word. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you.